From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, South Korea reaches a new high in critical cases of COVID-19 and linked deaths. The World Health Organization has recognized a new COVID-19 strain as a variant of concern and named it Omicron. The widow of late dictator Chun Doo-hwan has offered an apology for inflicting pain. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Eunice Kim. The country's daily COVID-19 caseload has bounced back above the 4,000 level, while the number of critically ill patients and new deaths have reached record highs. The KDCA said Saturday that 4,068 new infections were confirmed throughout Friday, raising the country's accumulated caseload to nearly 437,000. The outbreak is spreading especially in the capital region, with more than 1,800 cases reported in Seoul alone, another fresh high. Friday also saw 52 COVID-linked deaths, bringing the overall death toll to 3,492. The fatality rate stands at 0.8%. The number of critically ill patients is at an all-time high of 634, staying in the 600s for the third straight day. Only 56 intensive care beds for COVID-19 patients remained empty in Seoul as of 5 p.m. Friday, reaching an occupancy rate of 83.7%, according to the health ministry. The situation is similar in the greater metro area. Gyeonggi Province has 83.1% of its COVID-19 critical care beds occupied, while for Incheon, that figure stands at 83.5%. The nationwide average is at 73.2%. The occupancy rate for semi-critical cases stands at 68.8%, while 68.9% of beds at infectious disease hospitals are in use. COVID-19 treatment centers, where patients with mild symptoms are quarantined, are 63.7% filled. Meanwhile, over 7,700 patients are being treated at home. The World Health Organization has recognized a new COVID-19 strain out of Southern Africa as a variant of concern and named it Omicron. The decision was reached during a virtual meeting of the global body's technical advisory group held Friday. The WHO said the variant, initially called B11529, has a large number of mutations, and preliminary evidence suggests an increased risk of reinfection compared to other variants of concern. It stressed the continued importance of mask wearing, hand washing, distancing, ventilation, and vaccination. Omicron was first identified by South African health authorities in a specimen collected on November 9th, which was then reported to the UN Health Agency on Wednesday. The agency said it will take weeks to understand how the variant may affect diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines. As the new strain of COVID-19 Omicron is being studied, nations are imposing travel curbs on South Africa, where the variant was first reported. President Joe Biden announced on Friday that the U.S. would restrict arrivals from South Africa and nearby countries from next Monday. American nationals and permanent residents are not subject to this measure. The European Union said its 27 member states have agreed on similar restrictions. Britain and Russia have also announced a ban on flights and arrivals from South Africa and its vicinity. Asian, Middle Eastern, and South American nations are also introducing border controls, while Australia is known to be considering mandatory quarantine of travelers from South Africa. South Africa's health minister, Joe Fala, has slammed the travel restrictions as unjustified, saying they completely go against the norms and standards advised by the World Health Organization.
You're now listening to the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul, Korea.
The ruling party's presidential candidate Lee Jae-myung is touring the Jeolla provincial area this weekend, canvassing five areas of the Democratic Party-friendly region on Saturday alone. In line with his pledge to prioritize the field and the people's livelihood, Lee visited a Saturday market in Changhung and will meet with farmers in Gangjin in the afternoon. He will then move to Yeosu and Suncheon, meeting citizens there to listen to the local sentiment. Embarking on the Jeolla province tour on Friday, Lee has already visited Mokpo, Sinan, and Haenam. On Sunday, he will travel to Gwangju and end his four-day, 1,300-kilometer tour in Yeongwang on Monday. Meanwhile, the main opposition People Power Party's presidential candidate Yoon Sung-yeol will visit an exhibition consisting of work by young artists in southern Seoul on Saturday to listen to their stories. An official from Yoon's camp said the exhibit, titled Mask Parade, held at Seoul Arts Center, is designed to lower the threshold for aspiring artists seeking to enter the art scene. Through the meeting, Yoon will contemplate ways to provide support for that space. On Friday, Yoon held a meeting of the PPP's newly launched Election Campaign Committee. On Saturday, he will focus on the committee's composition and fleshing out his policy pledges. Prosecutors investigating the Seongnam land development scandal on Saturday called in for questioning former opposition lawmaker Kwak Sang-do over allegations that he had indirectly received bribes via a massive severance pay given to his son. According to legal sources, Kwak was being grilled at the Seoul Central District Prosecutor's Office from 10 a.m. as a suspect. He is accused of planting his son at the asset management firm Hwa Chun-Tae-yu, where he later collected a 5 billion won severance pay in return for helping the firm form a consortium with Hana Bank in relation to the land development project. Prosecutors believe that at the request of Kim Man-bae, Hwa Chun-tae-yu's largest shareholder and a university peer, Kwak exerted influence on Hana Financial Group to make the consortium deal work. Kwak's son was also questioned on two occasions last month. The wife of the late former dictator Chun Doo-hwan, infamous for his bloody crackdown of the Gwangju pro-democracy movement, has offered an apology on behalf of her husband to those who suffered pain during his reign. Lee Soon-ja extended her deep apologies, a first by a member of the Chun family, as his coffin was being prepared to leave Severance Hospital in Seoul on Saturday morning. She added that, in hindsight, much has happened since her husband stepped down from public office, and each time he used to say that everything was his fault and due to his lack of virtue. Chun, who served as security commander during the crackdown of the 1980 uprising, failed to issue a public apology for his past misdeeds while he lived. He also said Chun had told the family he wanted a simple funeral. Instead of a tombstone, he wanted to be cremated and have his ashes scattered over a place overlooking North Korean land. Marking the end of a five-day funeral, the ex-president's contemporaries, relatives, and religious figures came out to see his coffin leave the hospital. His body is to be cremated at Seoul Memorial Park and the ashes kept at his home until a final resting place is decided. Chun died Tuesday of chronic ailments at the age of 90. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center here in Seoul. I'm Eunice Kim.